fairly safe to say that anybody in the Czech Republic who knows anything about astronomy has learned at least some of it from Dr. Jiří Grygar. Something of a Czech Carl Sagan, Dr. Grygar has been a frequent personality of Czech and Slovak television screens since his popular program Windows Wide Open to Space in the late 1970s. He was the chairman of the Czech Astronomical Society and is one of the founding members of the Czech Club of Skeptics, Sisyphus, which battles pseudoscience and charlatanism in the Czech media. I met Dr. Grygar in his tiny office at the Physics Institute of the Academy of Sciences and asked him to tell me how he first became interested in his life's passion.
I was a very avid reader. When I was young, I started to read, I think at the age of 5. And always when I read some book which could be considered as a popular science. So I was very much attracted to science or technology. And I always told my parents that I would become an engineer or something like geologist or something like that. And once when I was 9, I got the first book that was dealing with astronomy on popular level. It was especially written for the teenagers. I was very much attracted by the book, and I announced to my parents that I would become an astronomer. And they laughed, of course, because they know that after fortnight I would say something else, but it was not the case.
But what about when you were only 9? Yeah. That is, so what about when you realized everything that it would entail, the mathematics and difficult physics?
Yes, it was practically immediately when I started really to be serious about my future astronomy profession. So at the end of 10, I realized that it is necessary to be very good in physics and mathematics. And we did not have physics in that time in school, but we did have mathematics. And I was very poor. I was one of the poorest pupils in the class. So I realized that being an astronomer, I need to be not poor, but not even average, but much above the average. So I bought a book about mathematical problems for the grammar school students. And I was not yet a grammar school student, but during the summer holidays, I really mastered about 1,000 of these problems. And in that way, I just overcome this deficiency.
In most countries, I would say astronomers are not very well-known public figures, but I think you have made a strong public impression. The public in general in the Czech Republic knows your name and they know about your work. How has that come to be the case?
I believe that I had several advantages. One advantage is that practically all my relatives, especially my mother, was a teacher. And therefore, I probably have some teaching genes. So when I learned about astronomy, I was so much excited by these big notions about the universe. And I had really the urge to tell these big things to everybody who was able to listen, and sometimes even to those people who were not much willing to listen. For instance, I built my first telescope when I was about 12 or 13. So immediately I put the telescope on the corner of our street. And at the evening, I just asked people just to look through my telescope. So I was really aggressive in that. I tried to convince everybody that astronomy is fantastic. And the second advantage is that when I was about 16, I became among the first demonstrators at the Brno Observatory. And I discovered a very interesting thing, that when you are lecturing to people in a normally lit hall, so people are rather shy to ask you for some peculiar question because they are afraid of being blamed for very stupid questions or something like that. But when they are in the dome of the telescope, it is night and you have to switch off all lights. So it is very intimate surroundings. And they lose this shyness and they start to ask very, very queer questions. Sometimes I was just caught by surprise. So at home, I really studied and just tried to invent some analogy from the daily life. And in this way, I started to be trained in answering all kinds of questions about astronomy. And I think this was the difference, because I had the advantage that I was able to explain these sometimes difficult problems of, say, understanding astronomy, even to people without any education, because I had this training from the dome.
And it was that, I guess, that brought you your television program, Windows Wide Open to Space, I guess would be the translation.
Right. Yeah, because I knew what can I expect from the general public. So I applied this experience in these television programs and just followed my instinct, because the science is difficult.
What has the Czech Republic and Czechoslovakia contributed to the study of astronomy and the study of space?
Under the communist regime, the best one was done was the study of small bodies of the solar system, like comets and minor planets. But, you know, we had such an... really did have an exceptional tradition. And because of this tradition in Czechoslovakia or Czech countries under, Charles IV's time and Rudolf II emperor, this was very important. Rudolf II, in the 16th, 17th century, he invited to Prague Tycho Brahe, the greatest observer, and Johannes Kepler, the greatest theoretician in astronomy. So practically Prague in that time was really the capital of astronomy of the world. So since then, I think astronomy was always very popular. Take the Prague clock at the Staroměstské náměstí. This is one of the oldest such machine in the world, and it could be done just because we had good astronomers who had calculated all these motions. It's quite a complicated machine. It's practically a computer.
I'll just ask you one more question, and that's about Sisyphus, how that came into being.
Yeah. It happened after the World Revolution. On one side, we were all very happy that finally we got the freedom of speech. And we discovered the drawback of this, that if you have a freedom of speech, so you have also the freedom to publish all kinds of stupidities about healing, about pathogenic zones, about the end of the world, astrology, of course. That's a freedom. And actually the first initiative was from some of the journalists, because they say, you know, we have the freedom of speech, so we cannot punish these people, we cannot call them to court. But we have to do something. And our colleagues from Slovakia already made such a society in 1994. So finally we realized that we have to do something similar. And in 1995 we established this Czech skeptic club called Sisyphos, because we know that our work is just Sisyphos-like. That means we cannot finish it and we would always lose.
Do you feel like you've had any success in combating stupidity?
Yeah, I think so. At least now it is quite clear, I think, even to innocent public, that there is a really dividing line between critical reasoning and say, all kind of speculation. So I think that this is now very well known in our country. Of course, we are very much criticized. We are suffocating the free thinking. And always it was in the history of science that those people who had the fresh ideas, they were always ridiculed. And after some years or decades or some centuries, it is now clear that they were right. So we are just the inquisitors. But I don't think we will change our minds, because it seems to be rather important. And I think many people are just happy that Sisyphus exists.